sure good to be in church tonight. Got a few prayer requests. I'll ask Brother Wes Willis if he don't mind to come and pray over these. We'll start with the praise report here. Sister Martha Ann, I'd like to praise the Lord for touching me from having the flu, tonsillitis, and ear infection all at one time. I was so sick, now so much better. Thanking everyone for cards, food, snacks, etc., and most of all your prayers. So we thank the Lord for touching her. Pray for Brother Howard Collins. He has strep. Also, let's pray for Nathan Hedrick, having severe headaches, has a tumor on his brain. Also, pray for his soul. Also, pray for Margaret Carper, not doing well. Sister Peggy Kirkpatrick turns that request in. Please pray for Sister Eastep's daughter, Connie Bouchard, who's having congestive heart failure and also losing blood. Let's remember that. Please pray with us that God would provide work for me. Also, it's our desire to move to Johnson City, but we need to sell our home here first. That's from Brother Gary Hall. Also, a prayer request for Lance Parker. Brother Lance has got bronchitis and strep. Also, Emma has strep throat. Brother Fred Green would like for us to remember his grandson, Dion Wolf. Also, Brother Homer and Sister Margie Longoria, both in need of prayer. Also, Justin Harrison, Brother Baker, and that's his grandson. He has a tumor in his brain that has enlarged. He's to have surgery on February the 11th. So let's remember that if you stand tonight. Let's remember Brother Louie. He called today. He's really hoarse, upper respiratory stuff bothering him. Let's just remember Brother Louie.
My young cousin, who's about the age of my son, Daniel, had a massive aneurysm. And many of you know about it already and been praying. He's made some improvement, but he could really use your continued prayers. It's very, very touch-and-go kind of situation. But we know that the Lord can definitely heal him. So far, what we've seen has just been nothing short of miraculous with his responses so far. So I want to thank you all for praying that have known about it. Let's bow our heads. Father, we love you so much. We thank you for this opportunity, Lord. Lord, with the world changing as fast as it is, the religious landscape, the political landscape, everything changing around us, the economy, you know, so tight and everything, Lord, it seems like the whole spirit of the world is just darkened in, over the last, you know, few months and years, Lord. And as your approach comes closer, we know that the pressure is going to grow stronger. But, Lord, you never change. We know that we can trust you every day of our lives. As long as we're on this side, Lord, we can trust you for our healing. We can trust you to answer our prayers. We know that you love us and you're concerned about each one of these. You know, we may face trials and tests and things like that, Lord, but it's just simply a chance to let your glory be seen. Father, we know that nothing can hide the light of your presence, Lord, and we know that you're going to look into each and every one of these requests, and we just ask that your will be done, and nothing short of that, Father, because we know that no matter what happens, we know that it's in your hands and it's for the best. And Lord, for those that we have the right to ask here, Lord, we ask for healing. I thank you for these testimonies, Father, the testimonies of our sister who's feeling better, Lord. But I also notice that the devil seems to go in trends. There seems to be a lot of attacks on the brain. There's a lady at my work, Lord, that had an attack on her brain even just recently. And it's just like, it seems like that's the thing right now. There's some tumors here, Lord. And we just ask you to just drive those out. Just drive out those spirits, Lord, and leave room for healing and let those people become well, Lord, for your glory. We know that you are the only reason, that your glorification is the only reason we're here, so that people can see you. And Lord, we just ask that you do these things in Jesus' name. And Father, we ask that for this service tonight, that your presence just be completely, completely free, Lord. That you be able to just speak to us, Lord. That you just wipe away anything that might be between us and you, Lord. That you forgive us of any sins or any thoughts that might be trying to flood our brains, Lord, to keep us from listening to you and to hear your word. We just ask you to anoint our brother, Lord, to come out here and just feed us the bread of life, Lord. We just look so forward to it every time. It's such a privilege to be here. And we just thank you, Lord, and ask for your blessing on the service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
This evening. Oh, I am weak, but thou art strong. Jesus.
from all wrong.
Would like to come. Let's sing Didn't I Walk on the Water? Gee.
As I kneel in the darkness, in the middle of the night, I'm praying for assurance everything's gonna be alright. Lord, I see another battle, it's out in front of me, and I'm afraid I won't be able, and I'll go down in defeat. He said, I walked on the water, and I calmed the raging sea. I spoke to the wind, it hushed and I gave it peace. It was once a home. Said, my bills are coming due, Lord. 6 days is not that long. She hears a voice so still and low. Says, I've moved like that before. I'll do this little thing, and I'll give you so much more. And he said, I won't. Help me sing it. I calmed the raging sea. I spoke to the wind. It hushed and I gave you peace. Didn't I run to your rescue? Didn't I hear you when you called? I walked right beside you just so you wouldn't fall. Didn't I leave all of heaven? Die for your sin. I searched until I found you, and I do it all again. He said, do you remember, child, where I brought you from? Just take a look behind you at how far you've come. Time you ask me, haven't I delivered you? So why would you be thinking that I wouldn't see you through? Said I walked on the water, I calmed the raging sea. I spoke to the wind, it hushed and I gave you peace. I'll walk right beside you just so you wouldn't fall. Didn't I leave all of heaven just to die for your sin? I searched until I found you, and I'd do it all again.
Amen. Brother Matt Carter, Brother Mac's going to sing a song for us again. But I'd like to sing that chorus. Actually, I'd like for you to sing that third verse and then sing that chorus again. I just love the part in this chorus when it says, didn't I speak to your wind? And it's just, it's crazy. All the people in here, the different winds that we would each have. And everybody's got something in your life you can look back, a wind, an annoyance, something that just kept you off course all the time. That's now a testimony. That's now a victory. That now you can look back at that and look at where you were, where you're at. I thank God for that. Let's think about that when we sing this one more time. Sing that third verse.
He said, do you remember, child, where I brought you from? Just take a look behind you at how far you've come. And every time you ask me, didn't I deliver you? So why would you be thinking that I wouldn't beside you, just so you wouldn't fall. Did I leave all of heaven just to die for your sin? I searched until I found you, and I do it all again. Sometimes, I don't know if that's right or not. Sometimes I don't know what to do. I don't know, I'll find it maybe. Sometimes he said, I can't figure it out. Y'all pray for me. I sure need it. Sometimes he said, my defense must not want. I got it. I'm all messed up. Sometimes he said we would have trouble and war against my flesh. And sometimes he said we walk by faith and on an answer we wait. And sometimes all that's left to do is take a final stand and always, yes, always, gently take. Reminds me just whose child I am. Then always he leads me to pastures green, where he restores me. Then I can see yes, always, he knows what's best for me. And sometimes he said that my defense must not want to work. And sometimes he makes my enemies. At my feet, sometimes I feel angels here watching over me, and always, yes, always, I lift my hand and pray. Reminds me just whose child I am.
pastures green. Where He restores me, then I can see that always, yes, always He knows what's best for me. Just as child I am, then always He leaded me to pastures green, where He restores me, then I can see that always, yes, always He knows what's best for me.
Let's stand this evening as Brother Donnie gets ready to come. In Jesus' name we press on. Let's sing that together as Brother Donnie comes.
In Jesus' name we press on. In Jesus' name we press on.
Father, as we stand before You tonight, Lord, dear God, my brother and sister, bring their little daughter into Your presence. We know, Lord, to be able to raise up a child in this day, to train it in the way that it should go, it's part of our responsibility. Lord, left alone, a child will go toward darkness. Left to its own, it will go toward the things that are wrong, because it's just in our fallen nature. But Lord, what a great responsibility they have that they can be able to train her, teach her, influence her. Oh, I pray, Father, that Your grace and mercy would be upon them, Lord. helps them, I pray. My sister being the fifth gospel, help my brother being able to influence her, dear God. May she hear prayer, songs, the message of the hour. Lord, keep her from the evils of the day, from the sicknesses, diseases that are so rampant. We dedicate her little life to you tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Stand together if you would. Genesis chapter 45, verse 17. Let's close out with Jacob tonight. Let's let the poor guy have a rest. This is, I think, part 19 or something like that. We've dealt with his life. And I was thinking about it today. I wonder if my life would ever be preached. You know, how many parts I'd have. What's some of y'all be? 719, 832, 900. As long as the end result winds up like him. Amen. Genesis 45, 17. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, say unto thy brethren, this do ye, lade your beast, and go get you unto the land of Canaan. Take your father and your households, and come unto me, and I will give you the good of the land of Egypt. And ye shall eat the fat of the land. Now thou art commanded, this do ye, take wagons out of the land of Egypt, for your little ones and for your wives. Bring your father and come. He realized this command could only be given by Pharaoh. Joseph is the second in command next to the king, but it was Egyptian law. No one could authorize taking a wagon out of Egypt but the king himself. Our husband, the Lord Jesus, don't even know when he's going to come to the earth yet for his bride. Only the king knows that. But he'll tell him. Glory. Hallelujah. Listen to this in verse 20. Also, regard not your stuff. For the good of all the land of heaven is yours. I'm ready to parallel to you now. Oh my. And the children of Israel did so. And Joseph gave them wagons according to the commandment of Pharaoh and gave them provision for their way. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, thank you tonight for your great word. We're still rejoicing, Lord, over last Wednesday, what you gave us on this. Now we have another service, another part, to be able to look at the life of this great man. Speak to us tonight, I pray, Father, from your word. May we be benefited by our gathering together tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Let's read verse 25 and verse 26. They went up out of Egypt and came into the land of Canaan unto Jacob their father, and told him, saying, Joseph is yet alive, and he is governor over all the land of Egypt. And Jacob's heart fainted, for he believed them not. And they told him all the words of Joseph, which he had said unto them. And when he saw the wagons which Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob, their father, revived. And Israel said, it is enough. Joseph, my son, is yet alive. I will go and see him before I die. Chapter 46, verse 1. And Israel took his journey with all that he had and came to Beersheba and offered sacrifices unto the God of his father Isaac. There's no way that you and I can be able to comprehend what is going through his mind. 22 years has passed. 22 years of wondering. 22 years of frustration, doubt, fear, who knows what all that the man went through. And now he's getting this news that Joseph is alive, and he sees the wagons, the insignia of Egypt, seeing the things no doubt they'd never even seen an Egyptian wagon before. And there's a whole load of people now that's going to leave out of there, and there's quite a journey, so they had to have quite a wagon train. So there was quite a store that was laid up for them. But really, I imagine it wasn't just the great things of the wagons. It wasn't just the great things of the food or of the clothing, but it was the message that had brought such a reality to Jacob's heart, that Joseph was alive. Let me tell you, friend, it's not to me, it's not so much the crowds, the signs, the wonders, this, that, the other. But one thing that got my heart many years ago and still grips it tonight about this message is that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. If he could do great things years ago when Moses was alive and do great things even when Brother Branham was alive, but yet be only a historical God, what good would that do us here tonight? What good would that do us in this hour? But to know that our Joseph is alive. Hallelujah. That he is not dead. Now you imagine, even though it was a great time of rejoicing, yet it must have been a fearful time, because Jacob is now being asked to do something that seems like is out of the will of God. For Joseph, now down in the land of Egypt, and Jacob has been given the declaration from Joseph, from Pharaoh, to come to the land of Egypt. God forbid his father from going to the land of Egypt. When Abraham went to the land of Egypt, it's a true known fact, Abraham was backslid. How is it that Abraham going out of the land would be backslid? For Isaac to think about going out of the land would be backslid. And it would be the will of God for Jacob to leave. Now, you know, the thing is that whenever we're dealing with the will of God, it's so easy for us to tell other people what they ought to do in their lives. Now, if he would have followed the example of Abraham and said, I am not going, this is a lying devil. It's of the devil, I will not go, get behind me, Satan. Because my father Abraham and God told my father Isaac, oh, Mo, you cried on me already. But you see, he had to find the will of God for his life. Now listen carefully. The will of God for Abraham's life was not exactly the same thing for Jacob's life. The will of God for Isaac's life was not exactly the will of God for Jacob's life. But you imagine now that he was afraid, and he should have been. Notice now, and Israel took his journey with all that he had and came to Beersheba. Now, Beersheba is the southernmost town in the land of Israel as you would go on your way to Egypt. So it is the very last place in the promised land before you would go over into the Egyptian territory. Now, Beersheba was a great place as far as historical value in the life of Abraham, in the life of Hagar, actually, in the life of Isaac. Many great things had happened in Beersheba. So here, Isaac has come down. God visited him. God visited Abraham. And your Jacob is on his way down, but he wants to make sure. So what does he do? The Bible says that he offered sacrifices unto the God of his father Isaac. Now Isaac had lived there for a long time. It was there at Beersheba that Hagar received a message from God and called the name of the well Beer-lahai-roi, which him that seeth me. At Beersheba, God had done some wonderful things. So here, 16 miles from Hebron, it's not that far away from where that he's lived. But it is the last state of the edge of the promised land before he leaves. Now he wants to seek God and make sure that he's not in getting out of the will of God. This is a very good thing for all of us to do, is it not? Now notice then, so Israel was about to leave his own land and go into a land that he knew was full of heathen idolatry. Now the Egyptians at this time, of course Egypt had changed the way they worshipped and many different things about them. They had not yet
Spirit entered into the theology of yet there being one God, but they worship Ra, which was the sun god. They worship the crocodile god. They worship the fertility god. They worship the moon god. They worship all kinds of gods and goddesses. This within itself would have been enough to grip the heart of any true patron that did not want to take his people to such a place of thinking you're going to bring him down in the middle of all of that idolatry. But you see, when God is orchestrating something, it always pays to follow in his divine will. Now watch what he does. He approaches God with sacrifices and praise. Now why should Jacob worry about it? Well, Abraham was out of the will of God. Isaac was warned not to go. And just looking at it from the sense of reasoning, Egypt could have been a very dangerous place. There's not but about 80 something of them, so they could have been very easily polluted. But you see, God has this all in control. Watch in verse 2. And God spake unto Israel in the vision of the night. Notice now, God spake unto Israel. Don't ask me why that the names bounce back and forth. But God will call him Israel, and then God will call him Jacob. Then God will go from Jacob back to Israel, and then he'll go from Israel back to Jacob. Myself, I don't understand the significance, but I know that God knows exactly what he's doing. But I think, even in myself looking at us, at the application to us, that we can hear that God does us really the same way. Because God will have sermons preached to our Israel, which is our soul. And then God will have sermons preached to Jacob, which is our unconverted part. And sometimes we drag out of here like a coon dog has been beat to death with an old whoop, and we feel lower down than a snake's belly. Why? Because the whole sermon was on old Jacob on the outside. And the next night, our feet don't even touch the pavement. We fly from the pew, we fly plumb out to the car and fly plumb back to Kingsport, and we don't even feel like our tars ever touched the interstate. Why? Because the sermon was to Israel, the soul. And then we come back to next service and poor old Jacob gets wore plumb out again. And we crawl out to the car and we crawl in and we crawl, oh God, I'm not sure I can make it home. You will, Jacob, just climb in and go on home, but be hopeful and know that God is mindful of you. Now sometimes you come to church and you think, man, I need a good Israel sermon, and God gives you a good Jacob one. And you fall flat on your face and you think, God, I ain't deserving of a good Israel sermon. I need a whooping. I need to be turned crossways. And God just lavishes you with Israel from the beginning to the end. So it shows we do not know what we need. But he knows. Amen. Now watch this. And God spake unto Israel. God spake unto Israel in the visions of the night. Now remember, he's a prophet of God. And the word of God comes to the prophets by open vision. So here the word of God comes to Jacob in the night. Now notice what he says. In the visions of the night, and said, Jacob, Jacob. In the very same verse, both of them are identified, and God spake unto Israel in the visions of the night. So the visions of the night did not come to Jacob. The visions of the night came to Israel, but when God verbally speaks, he directs it to Jacob, Jacob. Oh, hallelujah. Now watch, so the word of God comes in the form of an open vision, and God spoke unto Israel in the visions of the night and said, Jacob, Jacob, and he said, here am I. Isn't it amazing that God would repeat this? In Genesis chapter 22 verse 11, he says, Abraham, Abraham. In 1 Samuel 3:10, he says, Samuel, Samuel. Luke 10:41, Martha, Martha. In Acts 9:4, Saul, Saul. So here God repeats it. So here he's reminding Jacob, and he comes to him in the word of God into Israel, the soul. But when he goes to addressing it, he says, Jacob, Jacob. Oh my. To remind him, no doubt, of who he was still dealing with. To let him know his enemy is still there. Now watch, he needs a consolation before this move is made. And he said, I am God. Literally, I am El, the El, or the Mighty One. And he says, I am the Mighty One. So the name reveal shows the omnipotence of God, that I'm going with you. Now he's scared to go, and he's really uptight about going, and he doesn't know, should I go, should I not go? Notice what God reveals himself to. And he said, I am God, the God of thy father. Fear not to go down to Egypt. Now this is totally opposite of what Abraham was told and what Isaac was told. Praise the Lord. So here now he must go, and he's not doing it now in the sign of rebellion, because he's waiting on God. I believe, being in the sunset years of his life, that if God would have told him not to go, he'd have headed right back and said, you go down and tell Joseph I cannot come, tell him to come see me. But you see, God had a greater plan. Oh my. Watch now. He says, fear not to go down into Egypt. And remember, this is a long journey. This is an old man. He might die along the way. There's all kinds of perils that could wait before them. So God knows exactly what to say at the right time. Fear not to go down into Egypt. And now here God gives him the reason why. Fear not to go down into Egypt, for I will there make of thee a great nation. Now remember, all of these things are laying before them. The Egyptians are idol worshippers. All kinds of things are there, but God has a reason. You know, it's amazing when you look at the 215 years of making up thus far, and they have been able to have a prosperous time. They've had cattle and all that, but their numbers are only about 83 or something like that. In 215 years' time, they've only got up to that number. But they're going to go down, and within 400 years in the land of Egypt, they will be over 600,000 men, much less the women and children. I mean, you look in the promised land, they grow and they have babies and they have cattle and this and that and the other. But yet in the promised land, over a period of 215 years from Abraham up to the time of Jacob, they've only got 80 some people there. But when they're going down into the land of bondage, and there they're going to go. Why? Because bondage makes the people of God grow like blessings don't. Woo! Oh my! Bondage and trouble and persecution makes the people of God grow, when blessings will make them fat and lazy. They've had 215 years and they've got 80 something people, and now they're going to go down there, and in 400 years they're going to explode. Oh my! Hallelujah! But why is God doing this? You see, friends, this was prophecy. But now, if Isaac would have tried to take this word, it would not have worked. There was a season for this prophecy to be fulfilled. You're wondering in your mind what the prophecy is. I'm going to read it to you. It's Genesis 15:13, when God speaks to Abram. And he said unto Abram, know of a surety that thy seed shall be in a stranger and a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years, and also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge afterward, and they shall come out with great substance. Now here they're moving into this stage of the message of the hour. That would not have worked in the days of Abraham, even though God told it to Abraham. Isaac could have said, well, my daddy said this is going to happen. But that word was not for the administration of Isaac. It was not even the earlier years of Jacob. But that word kicked into season in the last, what did Jacob live, 17 more years when he got down to the land of Egypt. So this word had the proper season. Can't you see why? The message of the hour is suited for the hour we live. God's light must be brought to the word, and the people who live in that time frame, they link right up with that word according to the illumination of the Spirit of God. Now what if Jacob would have known, okay, this prophecy is for me, and he tried it 50 years before that, then how the will of God? What if he'd have tried it 20 years before that? How the will of God? Why, there is a season to the word. Oh, thank the Lord. Notice it. You realize now this is a parallel as well to the bride of Christ, because the Lord Jesus, in saving the elect of God and establishing a church, he knew that he would expose them to heathenism. He knew that he would leave them in this sin-sick world. He knew that he would leave them around all types of idolatry. He would leave them there. He would let them be a light unto the world and actually bring condemnation to the world. He did not save them and pull them out on another island somewhere, and all the Christians go over here and we'll all live there. That's not the way he was going to do it. But he was going to leave them in the middle of that world, that from the middle of that hell, they would overcome every bit of it. This bride is not like Eve was in the Garden of Eden. In the Garden of Eden, Eve couldn't live right in a perfect paradise. But you're living right in the middle of hell. Oh, Lord Jesus, there Eve was. There wasn't one sin. There wasn't one lie. There was not anything there. And yet Eve couldn't live right. And everywhere you look, you're bombarded every day of your life with hell. Everywhere you get up, everywhere you work, everywhere you go to eat, it's all around you every day. And by the grace of God, you will overcome it all. Not in the middle of paradise, not in the middle of heaven, but in the middle of Satan's Eden, we will overcome. Why? It's our word. This is our word. You put Luther in this age with what he had, he'd go nuts. You put Wesley in this age, you put the early Pentecostals in this age, they couldn't take it. You're ordained for this hour. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now you imagine now, there's just about 80 something as I said of them. You leave them in the land of Canaan, they're more acceptable to Canaanites. They could have merged easier by marriage. They could have merged easier in their form of idolatry. But in Egypt, they were actually kept apart from the Egyptians because of their race. Well, I thought somebody would shout on that one. Don't you understand why you're kept apart from Egypt? It's your race. I'm talking about white. I'm talking about black. I'm talking about Chinese or Japanese. I'm talking about your God race. Hallelujah. Because of your race, that will be the very thing that will keep you away from the idolatry of the world. Amen. Because they were Hebrews, that would be the very thing the Egyptians would look at them and say, oh my, we don't want nothing to do with them folks. Keep them away from us. My goodness, ain't them Hebrews? Aren't those Semites? My, keep them away from us. Hallelujah to God. That's why the devil wants the message people to compromise. Well, we get away from our race. Our race by the word. But you know what? It is our race that keeps us away from the world. It is our race that will not allow us to mix with them. Now, they will stay away from them, Egypt will, because of their race, and also because they consider them an impure caste. Genesis 46:34, the Bible says that you shall say, this is Joseph now instructing Jacob, you shall say, thy servant's trade has been about cattle from our youth even until now. Both we also and our fathers, that you may dwell in the land of Goshen. For every shepherd is an abomination to the Egyptians. May I say today, every shepherd pastor is still an abomination to message Egyptians. Boy, it's a good one. Man, a lot. Now watch. So they're different by race. And because a shepherd was an abomination to an Egyptian, then they are a lower caste of civilization. So therefore, none of them would want to marry them. They would not want to live in the same neighborhood they live in. Because they are lower caste. Y'all familiar with what caste is? Casteism is still in India to this day. I've seen it. Whenever India has great typhoons and great things that goes on, the lower caste people of India still bury the dead. It's against their caste system for the upper caste and the middle caste to bury the dead. That's why disease breaks out when they have massive death, because only the lower caste can be able to bury them. They still have foods that are categorized by caste. Watermelon is low caste food. Certain foods they still won't eat. For them to cross over and eat that, it's a break of their caste. That caste system ain't nothing but a bunch of lies of the devil anyhow. And the Message folks have got it too. Oh sure, they've got it right there in India. Still do today. Some of them do. But you realize now, God allowed their race and allowed their caste what was going to be a reproach. It would actually be their protection. Well, if they would have looked like everybody else, talked like everybody else, dressed like everybody else, lived like everybody else, then they could have married right in among them, and they would have been just like them. But God said, no, I want you to be a separate people. What I want you to go down there and live in the land of Goshen, and I want you to have a population explosion. And it ain't going to be half Egyptian or a third Egyptian. I'm going to make your race separate you, and I'm going to make your occupation separate you to where you will be a natural, normal abomination to Laodicea. I mean to the Egyptians. Don't you see, friends, why they hate your sister's hair? Don't you see why they can't stand it that you women don't wear breeches? Why don't they just leave you alone? They can't. You're an abomination to their conscience. You're an abomination. They claim they want to set you free. That ain't the truth of it. You haunt them. And remember, in the last days of the tribulation period, those beasts that come out of the bottomless pit with long hair, they will torment women that have sat in this church and bobbed their hair off. They'll torment them in the tribulation period. Woo. Oh my. I am God, the God of thy father. Fear not to go down into Egypt, for I will there make of thee a great nation. Now, Brother Branham would have went to Tahiti, or Borneo, or Morocco, or some island somewhere years ago, and made a message colony. And all message folks would have had to went there. How far you reckon the message would have ever grown? So God sent his race out right among them. Black, white, red, yellow. I'm talking about the new race now, the God race. Your skin color don't matter as far as that part of it goes. So God's just dispersed his race, the new race, all over the face of the entire earth. But God said, I'll give you the identification to where if you'll stay where I've got you, they won't want nothing to do with you. But you watch our young girls and you watch our young boys when they go to compromise in their dress. You watch the girls and they go to slipping into breeches, cutting their hair, wearing makeup. What are they doing? Satan knows it breaks down the bars to identify them as tribulation material. You say, a bald-haired woman, don't get in your mind rapture. There's no such a thing. Painted face, mini skirt, no such a thing. Come on, church, don't get quiet. We are another race of people. Therefore, we dress different, we act different, we talk different. Hallelujah. And the world has a natural hate and abomination toward this bride. That's why they love to talk about us and run us down and do all they want to do. But that ought to make us so happy. Amen. Because we are identified with the children of Israel in Goshen. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Notice in verse 4, this is God. I will go down with thee into Egypt. Well, I'll tell you one thing. If he's going, that eliminates the fear, don't it? What about idolatry? What about this? What about that? What about nothing? Me and God's the majority. Now notice, he never told Abraham this. This was not a plot, you understand? This was the word in season that was given to Jacob. This word, even though it come from Abraham's lips, this word was not for Abraham. Oh, don't get quiet on me now, children. This word was not for Isaac. This word was for the end of Jacob's life and the children of Israel. They needed a place to grow and explode. And you know what? We needed a place to spread this message around the world, and God didn't ban us to some island somewhere, but he let this word go across the world when they ain't even got no electricity. They ain't got no computers and nothing else hardly. But you go in there, and I've walked in them huts and found them message books and message book, hallelujah, laying there, and they hold it as sacred as if it was a bar of gold. Why? Hallelujah. Because God spread them around the world. I will go down with thee into Egypt. Again, Israel could have said, it is enough. If God will lead us into trials, is it enough? If he'll let us be talked about and persecuted and all that sort of thing, is it enough? If the presence of God will go with us, it's enough. I will go down with thee into Egypt. I will also surely bring thee up again. Now, if you do not have a spiritual understanding of this verse of scripture, you're going to make God a bald-faced liar. Because Jacob would never, alive, leave the land of Egypt. But God said he'd bring him out. Come on now. I will also surely bring thee up again. Who's he talking to? Jacob, of course. Jacob, of course. Hallelujah. I will bring thee up again. Don't you understand, friend? How? Death. Don't you know he says the same thing to every child of God? I will bring you up again. That's why a real child of God can look death in the face and they are not scared of death. Why? They have heard God speak to their Israel. I will not leave you there. I'll bring you up again. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. I will go down with thee into Egypt. I will also surely bring thee up again. And Joseph shall put his hand upon thine eyes. Now this is a peculiar statement to our Western civilization. But God is telling Jacob, he will go down into the land of Egypt. He will see Joseph. Joseph will be standing by him when he dies, and Joseph will actually reach up and do this. Close his father's eyelids. You see, in the ancient times, this is, if it was any way at all possible, when they died, it was the obligation of a family member to close their eyes when death had struck them. Now to Jacob, and God is saying this, he's driving away the fear of the journey. He's driving away the fear of the Ishmaelites or whatever. Whatever. Remember, they're going by with all these wagons. They got all this food. They got all this stuff. These men are not warriors. They're shepherds. They'd be like setting ducks. We're talking about a time of famine. Can you imagine you're going up to Carter County Bank and you're going to haul $8 or $10 million in the trunk of your car home? And you're flashing signs as you go, $8 million in the back, $8 million in the back. And you have a whole line 3 miles long behind you. Here they are with all this food, all these wagons, all these horses. And God said, don't you worry about it. I'm going to take you down. And Joseph is going to close your eyes. Well, I'll tell you one thing. That's mighty nice, Lord. But I'll be so glad when Joseph may close them, but it'll take you to open them again. My wife, Carol, may may close mine, or one of your brothers may close mine. You may close them, but you ain't got the power to open them again. But I'm so glad I'm serving a Savior tonight that death may close them, but life will open them again. Jacob, don't fear. Go on down. Oh, hallelujah. And Jacob arose from Beersheba. It's amazing now the words here that Moses uses. He said, Jacob rose up. And it denotes a new vigor or a strength from the vision. You know, there's strength that comes from a vision if you're on the right side of the vision. But it really depends on which side of the vision that you're on. So now here Jacob is wandering and, you know, frustrating in his mind. God, should I go? My grandfather got in trouble. He told my father not to go. God said, no, this is a word that I'm giving to you. This is my plan. This is my will. This is modern events made clear by prophecy. Now, Jacob could not make it happen, but he's walking right into that. Brother Biscoe with a checkered shirt like you and I walking right into prophecy. You think Jacob tried to make this happen? He didn't. Maybe he didn't even remember that this word was even said, or the season of the time. Is the bride trying to, okay, I'm trying to make the vision happen. I know we're just living our everyday lives, praying, reading our Bible, raising our families, going to church, and prophecy is being fulfilled in us every day. Now notice what happens to Jacob is that Jacob becomes strengthened by the promise. What promise? God said, go on down. I will go with you. So he receives strength from the word of God by the open vision, and the promise strengthens him. Oh, children. Oh, notice this. And he sent Judah before him unto Joseph. Judah. Yet Reuben was the firstborn. Simeon was older than him, Judah. Levi, older than him. But before he goes to the king's palace, he sends praise before him. Now remember, Judah, the commandments of the Messiah is going to be promised to Judah in Genesis, what is Genesis 49:10. So here is Judah now becoming the spokesman in the restoration, the lion of the tribe of Judah. And he sent Judah before him unto Joseph to direct his face unto Goshen. And they came into the land of Goshen. Now remember, they're getting close. Jacob has never been, as far as I know, to the land of Egypt, but Judah has made a couple of trips up and back, and Judah has now been given the responsibility to go up and be able to let Joseph know. Now remember, all the land of Egypt, they begin to hear it rumored into the palace that Joseph's father is alive and Joseph's brother. So you imagine they're under great anticipation, and the streets are buzzing with the news. The wagons are coming. The wagons are coming. Oh, glory. So they all begin to get up on this high alert. And then Judah comes in. So here comes praise right into the gates. Lift you up, you everlasting gates, and be ye lifted up. For Jacob is coming. Jacob is coming. Oh, hallelujah. So he goes. Joseph is not for sure how long it's going to take him to get there. But Judah comes and lets him know. And Joseph must now be prepared. So Joseph is going to leave the palace. And Joseph made ready his chariot. Now remember, Joseph don't have a wagon. He's got a chariot. The significance, according to how you travel, tells your rank and authority. Most people travel by foot. A rich man would travel by a donkey. But for you to travel in a wagon, it meant you were super elite. But for you to have a chariot, you were super, super elite. Now watch, they're going to meet, and both of them are going to meet on a power. But Joseph's power excels the power of the coming bride. Jacob and the children of Israel. And yet here's all kinds of Egyptians and Mesopotamians and whatever more coming and going. And what are they? They're walking on their feet, but not Jacob. Jacob has been set up there by his sons, by the message from his son Joseph, and now they're coming back on the wagons, and Joseph has now heard the alarm. And Joseph made ready his chariot and went up to meet Israel, his father, to Goshen, and presented himself unto him and fell on his neck and wept on his neck a good while. And Israel, not Jacob, Israel said unto Joseph, now let me die, since I have seen thy face. You wonder if this is what old Simeon had in his mind that day when he walked in the temple and he seen our Joseph. And he said, let your servant depart. I'm ready to die. I have seen your salvation. Oh, hallelujah. Jacob was so overwhelmed. Jacob was so fulfilled. I can die now. I can die. I've seen your face. I'm ready to go. Oh, my. You imagine, friends, as they set eyes on one another, how much Jacob had changed over the years, how much Joseph had changed over the years. You imagine they're getting closer and closer, and he stops his chariot, and then he gets down and he starts walking, and he picks up the pace, and here comes old Jacob limping on that prince hip, and he comes up through there as fast as he can. My son, my son. And Joseph said, my father, my father. Somewhere in the middle of those Egyptian sands, they embrace, and he falls upon his neck, and they weep and weep. Oh, what will it be, hallelujah, when the bride of Jesus Christ is changed in a moment and a twinkling of an eye, when the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall not prevent those which are asleep, but will all rise together, and will meet not in our home nor in his home, but will meet there in the heavens where they have been expanded to receive us. Whenever we meet our Joseph in the middle of the air, and we fall on one another's neck, and we weep, and we say, our Lord Jesus, our King, oh hallelujah, and he'll say, my bride, my beloved, my sweetheart. Hallelujah. And Israel said unto Joseph, now let me die, since I have seen thy face, because thou art yet alive. Chapter 47, verse 27. And Israel dwelt in the land of Egypt, in the country of Goshen. They had possessions therein, and grew and multiplied exceedingly. He lives for 17 years after he comes into the land of Egypt. And they're exploding right and left. Isn't it amazing? Right in the middle of Egypt. Idolatry everywhere. Heathenism everywhere. And they're exploding right before the Exodus. You mean the idolatry didn't slow them down? The more they beat them, the more they multiplied. It was a divine cycle. The more the devil persecuted them, the more they grew. The more they grew, the more the devil persecuted them. The more the devil persecuted them, the more they grew. And Satan was on a merry-go-round, and he finally got sick in his stomach and said, I don't know what to do with these people. The more I persecute them, the more God blesses them. And God said, the more you persecute them, the more I'm going to bless them. The devil said, the more you bless them, the more I'm going to persecute them. God said, I have got the mighty hand. The devil said, no, I think I can outdo him. He just kept going around and around and around and around. But we know who won. Daddy won. I said, Daddy won. The devil's got the same thing in his mind right now. I'll blast them message people. I'll do this and that and the other. I'll discourage them. I'll pull people out of their rank. But the more he does, the more God blesses us. And the more God blesses us, the madder the devil gets. And the madder the devil gets, the more God blesses us. And the devil tries to shut us up. And the God just pours out revelation that is bubbling over. And our soul, hallelujah. And the more God pours it out, the madder the devil gets. And the madder the devil gets, the more God pours it out. Woo! Praise the Lord! Whew. Oh my, and Jacob lived in the land of Egypt 17 years. So the whole age of Jacob was 147 years. And the time drew nigh that Israel must die. And he called his son Joseph and said unto him, if now I have found grace in thy sight, put I pray thee thy hand unto my thigh, and deal kindly and truly with me. Bury me not, I pray thee, in the denominations. He chose not to live like them idolaters. He sure didn't want to be buried among them. Hallelujah. Oh my. But I will lie with my fathers. Thou shalt carry me out of Egypt and bury me in their burying place. And he said, I will do as thou hast said. And he said, swear unto me. And he swore unto him, and Israel bowed himself upon the bed's head. This is after he's blessed his sons and told them prophetically what they're going to be. All these are the 12 tribes of Israel. And this is it that their father spake unto them and blessed them, everyone according to his blessing. And he blessed them and he charged them and said unto them, I am to be gathered unto my people. He's really tore up about it, ain't he? Hallelujah. The wind was blowing in the sails. The time of my departure is at hand. I'm fixing to be gathered to my people. Now remember, they didn't really know what it was all about. Hail to them was Sheol. It was a place all they knew God to give them a little bit of illumination to the netherworld, as they would call it. And they knew they would gather to their people. Brother, aren't you scared of going to hell? Well, if hell was my people, yeah. But since hell ain't my people, I'm going to my people. Jacob wasn't concerned about going to hell, Brother David, because hell wasn't his people. He had a promise from the Word of God. He's going to his people. Little children, according to the way you live, according to the way I live, that's where we're going to. If heaven is your people, guess what? That's where you'll be gathered when death strikes you.
Oh, glory.
Hallelujah. And he charged them and said to them, I am to be gathered unto my people. Bury me with my father. In the cave that is in the field of Ephron the Hittite. In the cave that is in the field of Machpelah, which is before Mamre in the land of Canaan, which Abraham bought with the field of Ephron the Hittite for a possession of a burying place. What difference does it make where you're buried? Well, in the Old Testament, it made a big difference because the resurrection was going to be in a certain location. May I say today, the resurrection, the rapture is still going to be in a particular spot. Now, it's not in a particular spot of ground. It's not in Tennessee or Trinidad, but it's in Christ, which is the ground of the resurrection. So don't bury me in a denomination. Don't bury me in the Catholic Church. Bury me in Christ Jesus. Bury me in the cave of Machpelah, which is the cave of the double mouths from the Old and the New Testament together, the elect of God. Oh, my. I hear Brother Branham say, I stood there. Dead to death, the armistice day parade. And he said, I heard them great tanks as they was coming down through there in the muffle in the background. Boom, boom, boom. Here they come. And he said, I saw them World War I tanks and then them Sherman tanks. And he said, them poor women standing there and the Gold Star mothers and all. And he said, I thought, oh my God, one day there'll come a blast from heaven and them Old Testament saints will come out of there. Hallelujah. And he talked about us. He said, we'll come out of there proudly displaying the blood of Jesus Christ on our chest. The message of God. For the hour you lived in, you cannot have the blood on your chest and deny the message of God for the hour you live. Oh, hallelujah! What it'll be when them old veterans go flying out of this world. Hallelujah to God. Abraham didn't buy this place, but my Lord Jesus bought a burying place for us. Oh, hallelujah. There they buried Abraham and Sarah, his wife. There they buried Isaac and Rebekah, his wife. And there I buried Leah. The purchase of the field and of the cave that is therein was from the children of Heth. Notice how God orchestrates things. And when Jacob had made an end of commanding his sons, he gathered up his feet and to the bed and yielded up the ghost and was gathered unto his people. He dismissed his ghost. It wasn't a struggle. It wasn't a wrestle. Like Jesus. He yielded up the ghost. He let go. He yielded up. The wind was in the sails. The ropes were loose from the moorings. And Jacob yielded up the ghost. And he, who? Israel, the elect, amen, was gathered unto his people. Oh, may our end be like this. A man who had failures, multiplied hundreds of failures. A man that let God down. A man that disappointed God. But the last words, let this be said about me. Let it be said about you, my brother, sister. Oh, my, he died in a car wreck drunk. Or he died with some other man's wife. Or he died smoking cigarettes. Oh, no. Let it be said about me. When God was done with me, I yielded up my ghost. When God was done with me, I said to you, let's go. Let's get out of here. Oh, hallelujah. Not squirming and squealing and scared to death. No, sir. But I yield up my ghost and I'll be gathered to my people. Oh, you make fun of it if you want to. But when I step beyond that bluegrass on the other side, one of the first ones I want to see is my Elijah that preached the word of God for this day. I'm not going to be gathered with Paul. I'm not going to be gathered with John. I'm going to be gathered with the messenger of this hour. I will be gathered with my people. Hallelujah. We will yield up the ghost and be gathered with our people. No. Oh, hallelujah. I'm not sure how many good funerals that Jacob had, but I thought I'd give him a good one tonight. Praise God. They embalmed his body. Then the Egyptians sent great wagon loads of royalty. They came and they wept and they cried. The Egyptians did. They stopped a certain perimeter of the property. And the Hittites, the Philistines, all of them, they looked at the Egyptians and said, look at how they are weeping for this man. They even gave the name of that place. They renamed it because the Egyptians were so moved by Jacob. You see, sometimes the things that we struggle with, our separation from the world, are the very things that actually many of them honor. You think they honor you when you compromise? You think they have much respect for you when you lower your standard to become like them? You say, well, I'm gaining their friendship. No, you're not. In all reality, you're marring your own integrity. And showing that what you say you believe, you really don't believe it anyhow. Because you're willing to give it up for whatever you got to do. Well, I dress like this, you know, because I've got to do it this way and that way. Yeah, you're forfeiting what you are. Yeah, you girls want to slip your britches on and want to cut your hair. What if the rapture comes and you got your pants on? You think the Lord will delay it an hour for you to get them off? You think the Lord will let you go in them? But if he lets you go, he'll have to let every other woman go in them too. Praise the Lord. The very thing that separates us, our race, and the stigma that they have against us, an abomination. I told you years and years ago, it would come to pass before we left this world that we'd be so reproached for the message of the hour. None of us had any idea what that would curtail, did we? I proudly bear the marks of the reproach. I'm glad to hang my shield in the armory where Elijah hung his. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He gathered up his feet into the bed
and yielded up the ghost and was gathered unto his people. The Egyptians go so far, and then Joseph and the rest of the family taking on up to Ephron, the field of Ephron the Hittite, into the cave of Machpelah. There they take him in, lay his corpse near Abraham and Sarah, Isaac and Rebekah, and lay him beside Leah, which so happened to be the same place Job was buried in a long time before that. There their bodies went back to the dust. Finally the dust dissolved to gases, atoms, cosmic light. But they were in the land of the resurrection. In the cuneiform rolls, which they found many years ago, they found recordings written on stone of tracts of property and deeds and all that. According to what they was able to calculate from the price of property then, Ephron the Hittite set Abraham on fire. For the amount of money that he paid for that property, it was astronomical. It's like a condo on Fifth Avenue in New York. You imagine they laughed about it for years. I imagine Abraham is still laughing about it. How much of a price could you pay on to be in the right place at the right time? And it so inspired Joseph that when Joseph got ready to die, he said, I'm going to die, but don't you leave me here. When you leave, take my bones with you. Imagine when they come out of the land of Egypt, here goes Joseph. Oh, praise God. How many have we buried over here, friends? How many have we laid over in the cemeteries around the dry cities, over in Virginia, North Carolina? My, they're waiting for us. But you know what? We buried them in the right place. Not so much Happy Valley Cemetery. I've tried my best since I've been your pastor to bury you so deep in Christ Jesus that there ain't enough devils out of hell can ever pull you out. I know sometimes I've had to make you mad and stomp on your toes and get you aggravated, but the end result, I want you to be so full of the power of God that you can look death in the face and say, out of my way. Get out of my way, death. Let me pull my feet up here on the bed. I got a cross this morning. The wind is in my sails. I'll dismiss my ghost. I'm going to be gathered with my people. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the life of this great man, Jacob. Probably between him and Abraham and Isaac, maybe others in the Bible, most of us could probably relate to Jacob, probably more so than many of the rest of the prophets, because we're able to see so much of the humanity in him, and yet to see what you could do with his life, and to see his end of what you were able to accomplish. When it was finished, he simply dismissed his spirit. Hallelujah. And went into that theophany body which had been prepared for him. Oh, Lord Jesus. I imagine that that day when you went down into hell, you went down to the lowest extremities first. You knocked on the door. You snatched the keys off the devil's side. Then the prophet said you kicked the door shut and knocked everything on the walls of hell off. And then you started ascending. You descended first, and then you started ascending. You went up to that place that was called Abraham's bosom, or paradise. You knocked on the door. Praise God. And then Elect started coming to the door one by one. Ezekiel, David, Abraham, Sarah, Jacob, Leah. Glory. Oh, hallelujah. Lord, I'm reminded of one man that was there. Jacob could talk about all the great victories he won in Abraham, the revelations. But I'm reminded of one man that was down in paradise. He must have really seemed like a misfit. He had just accepted you a few minutes prior to this.
But you looked over at him and said, today you'll be with me in paradise. Imagine when he broke down through the gates there and they said, where you come from? What'd you do? What great thing? What nation are you? A Jew? What did you do? He said, to be honest with you, I don't know. All I know is the man who told me that I could come said he'd meet me here. Glory. And in a few minutes, there you were. Glory to God. And you led them out of there, Lord. And the scripture tells us many of the bodies of the saints which slept arose and appeared into many in the city. Glory to God. Oh, Jesus, wrap us in Christ, Lord. Grant it, I pray, Father. Hallelujah. How many wants to be remembered tonight before the Lord? Children, when it comes right down to it, how much money you're worth, how big your house is, how many cars you got, none of that won't matter when you gather your feet up in the bed. Believe me, I've stood by many saints from this church and saints in different parts of the world. I've stood by many when they drew their last breath. And I'll tell you, when it come right down to it, what they owned didn't matter. Who liked them didn't matter. What really mattered was they ready to meet God. Hallelujah. Oh, glory. When it comes right down to it, your basketball team, well, this person likes me and that one don't. None of that'll matter. Believe me, I've stood by many of them and held their hand. And me be the last person they spoke to in this life. And when you're there, believe me, belonging to soccer, baseball, football, the most liked person in school, none of that matters at all. Being accepted by the world, believe me, when you're facing eternity, none of that matters. Hallelujah. Well, if it don't matter then, it should matter a whole lot to us now. Since this could be somebody's last night. That's right. Somebody in this building could pass before the night's old. Oh, but I'm young. What difference does that make? You don't have no written promise you'll live to be old. Let's be ready. Let's stay ready. Would you lay hands on one another standing there by you? You never know, friends, when we assemble together like this, the needs that's on the hearts of the people. People may have come here tonight so sick or so low, such despair. Maybe somebody come thinking, I ain't never coming back again. Maybe they're thinking, I ain't serving God no more. Your prayer might be the very thing that'll deliver me here tonight. Lord Jesus. Heavenly Father, I bring this congregation before you. Lord, we have a visible audience. And more than likely, the invisible audience that's streaming is larger than the one that's here visible. Lord, I pray for them as well. Help us, Father. We got to work. We've got our living to make and business and this and that and the other. But help us not to get drunk on Laodicea and its things. We got more things than we've ever had in our life. But are we closer to you or has it pulled us away from you? Help us to realize, Lord, when it comes right down to it, we gather our feet up in the bed. Most of the things that we put value on then, it won't matter at all. Oh, Lord, may we be ready. Every young man, every young woman, every man, woman, boy, and girl, may nothing hinder us, Lord Jesus. Help us, I pray. Truly, Father, it was faith and Abraham. Oh, hallelujah to God. Love in Isaac. Grace in Jacob. Grace in Jacob. And grace brought Jacob to a wonderful end of his life. Oh, hallelujah. Lord, I'll never leave much behind me. I'll never leave a great repertoire for people to read. Folks won't write Latin books about my life. My life story is not really even important enough to make a sermon about it. Lord, after a few years, I'll be forgotten on except just by my family. But Lord God, may my soul live on through the ceaseless eternity, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus, may there be nothing that will hinder our lives. Lord, if I go by cancer, if I go by a car wreck, whatever it is, if I go by the way of the grave and I pull my feet up in the bed, Lord God, hallelujah, and I yield up my ghost,
Hallelujah to God. And I've gathered with my people. And somebody closes my eyes. May they look down and realize he just began to live. He is not dead, but he's alive. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, it means more than anything in this world for us to be able to be gathered with our people. Bury us in Christ Jesus. Bury us in Christ Jesus. Lord, as soon as the wagons unload their goods that's to be unloaded in Jacob's tent, they're going to make their circle and they're going to start back. And when they start back, we're going to be on them. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. And we'll say, fare ye well, fare ye well. On that great getting up morning, fare ye well. Lord, one day I'll preach my last sermon. I'll reach into the wagon. I'll get the thoughts. I'll get the inspiration. I'll get, Lord, the things to do it. And I'll walk up here or wherever it'll be. I'll unload my last sermon. Lord, every preacher, Lord, around the world, everyone will be saved that's going to be saved. Every sermon, every dispensation of grace to the Gentile bride will be done. And when the last thing is unloaded out of the wagons, praise God, then the King, hallelujah, will give the command to the mediator, step out from behind the mediator booth. Change clothes. Go get your darling. Go get your sweetheart. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, Lord Jesus, may there not be a one of us missing, Father. Grant it, I pray, Lord. Grant it, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, those that are sick tonight, I pray you'd heal them. Those that are discouraged, those that are down, may you encourage them, Lord. Father, you see there's so much sickness going around, fevers, Lord, and so many different things. I pray you bring healing, Lord, to your people. Grant it, dear God, in the name of Jesus. May the Holy Ghost, I pray, drive back these demon spirits, Lord, that's afflicting the people with bronchitis and flu and all kinds of different things. Satan, I tell you in your face tonight, you are a liar and you are a bluff. Healing is on our wagon. Deliverance is on our wagon. And you ain't got no claim over us, devil. You are a liar. Go back to hell and take your diseases with you. We are more than conquerors to him. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. Get your Bible or get your handkerchief. You know, victory marches whenever they do it for Caesar or Napoleon or whoever more. Alexander the Great. They'd get out banners and flags and different things. They'd break olive leaves and throw it out in the paths or whatever more. And the people would stand out there and wave and triumph. Well, as far as time, it's not consummated yet, but prophetically I think we can say we have won. Yeah. We can look the back of the book and we are going to win by God's grace. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad you're on the winning side? Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, let's give him a wave offering tonight. Praise God. We love you, Lord Jesus. We rejoice in your presence, Lord. We want to go ahead and send Judah before we ever see you face to face. We want to send you praise for the rapture. We want to send you resurrection for the rapture. We're going to go ahead and tell you, I thank you my body's going to be changed. I thank you if I go by the way of the grave, I will get up. Hallelujah. Death can't hold me there. The grave can't hold me there. I want to go ahead and praise you right now for the rapture. I want to praise you right now for quickening power in the resurrection. Hallelujah. I'm sending Judah up before the rapture. I'm sending Judah up before the resurrection and say, it will come to pass. Glory to God. It will come to pass. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Sing something, Harry. We got a couple of young brothers that's going to be baptized tonight. If they'll come,
and prepare for that. Oh, glory. You love him, children, with all your heart. Don't you thank God for another good dose from the wagon tonight? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord Jesus.
Oh, there is going to be a meeting in the air in that sweet, sweet by and by. I'm going to meet you over there in that home beyond the sky. Such singing you will hear. Ever heard by mortal ear. With the glorious idea.
I do declare.
For God's own Son will be the leading one at that meeting in the end. There is going to be a meeting in the air. In that sweet, sweet by. You over there in that home beyond the sky. Such singing you will hear, never heard by mortal ear, will be glorious, I do declare. For God's own Son will be the leading one at that meeting.
You've heard the story told of dreaming Joseph and Jonah and the whale we all see. Oh, there are many, many others in the Bible. I should like to meet them all, I do declare.
Meeting in the air, and that
will
yes,
hear.
Lord.
Never hurt my mortal ear. Twill be glorious, I do declare.
Thank you, Lord.
God's own Son will be the leading one at that meeting in the air.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Brother Matt and Sister Susan Burns, their sons have been coming to them and asking them. And this is little brother Jonathan. He told me that he wants to give his life to the Lord Jesus. And he's here tonight to take his name in baptism. And it's just been eating at him and eating at him, and he's been talking to his parents about it, and his dad's prayed about it and thought about it, and finally there were some words said here when Brother Joel was baptizing his son that made him realize that it was time to give in. And so my little brother's here tonight to join the body. Little brother, go ahead and take your hand. I baptize you, Brother Jonathan, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Brother Jeremy, you've given your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. You ready to take his name, brother? Not take it in vain? Okay. Brother, take your hand and put it up over your nose. I baptize you now, my brother, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord has a promise that goes with this that we can claim as a real believer, as a true believer. We can claim the promise of the Holy Ghost. So I want the rest of the body to pray with me now as I lay hands on our brothers. And we want to believe together. And these young men have put it in their hearts to believe that the Lord's going to keep His promise, that He's not a liar. And He's not slack concerning His promises. Father, it's such an honor, Lord, to be here in the presence of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the presence of all these that are gathered here tonight to witness this event. Lord, as I lay my hands on my brothers, we're believing You and taking You at Your Word. And we know that You do not lie. We know that Your Word cannot be bent or broken or changed. We know that You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we're just going to believe now that You're going to fill our brothers with Your Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Thank You, Lord Jesus. Let's sing together Amazing Grace. As we get ready to go. Trust you enjoyed the service tonight. Be in the presence of the Lord. Let's sing it together. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God bless you. Go in the fear of God. See you again this weekend.
Amazing grace. How sweet the sound. That saved a wretch like me. Once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now shining as the sun. us pray. Then when we first began,
God bless you, saints. Oh, praise God. Praise God. Praise God.
Praise God.
Oh, praise God. Thank you, Lord.
I was blind.